everybody. Welcome to WD Carousel of Podcast. My name's Crystal.
And I'm here.
And this week we are absent Laurel.
Yes.
She is busy getting inked, and we wish her all of the strength and best while she is getting tattooed.
So we gained a Crystal and lost a Laurel. It's one day we'll be all back together again, but until that day, here we are.
Yes.
Doing our thing.
And it might not happen for a little bit because, you know, I have a surgery coming up eventually too.
So we're going to, it's just going to be all over the place.
But that's why we have the three of us.
Exactly. Now. We're here to continue delivering you our fun content, no
quality
matter what happens.
Content.
Yes. Exactly. And speaking of content, today's episode, we are talking about something that I didn't know much about until like the beginning of this year.
Yeah.
So, which is kind of interesting. So we're talking about Give the Kids the World Village.
Yes.
Which is kind of a neat thing, like an actual really cool concept that, again, I knew very little about. But also what's cool about it, continue.
Oh, go for it.
I had done a little bit of research on this and was shocked to know about the background of the founder, Henry Landworth.
But before we get into that, let's just explain for some people what it is.
Okay,
so how this all came about is because, as I do research and am obsessed with Disney, as you do. You run into different charity organizations and events that are going on around the properties, and one that regularly came up was Give Kids the World, Kids the World Village, and Give Kids the World events. And I did a little bit more research on my own, and I found out that we could volunteer down there on top of, you know, those big events and those specialty ticket things that were going on.
Yeah.
And when I was down there for the 2 weeks, I was like, well, I'd love to be able to have the opportunity to go and volunteer, see what it's like, see what the organization is. And so I started talking about it with you and Laurel, and that's really kind of what got the engine going on this and got you doing a little bit of research on this finding out more, and its connection to the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Yes. And its history goes back a little farther than I thought it did. It goes all the way back into the very late 60s. Kind of the beginning of the best way to into the like the Orlando entertainment scene, like, because that was kind of right around the time that Orlando started becoming a tourist destination. Wasn't really until the really late 60s, early 70s, obviously with Disney World kind of being the main starting point of that. But basically what happened is this man who we need to get into. Henry Landworth, and I'm only going to touch a little bit on him, but there's a lot of stuff in his life. But he was born in Belgium before World War II, and he actually lost both parents in a concentration camp in Poland.
Yeah, he was a Holocaust
survivor. He literally survived actual Auschwitz.
Which is phenomenal and just horrifying and
heartbreaking, and maybe says a little bit about something about his personality and what he goes on to do in a way. It really speaks to kind of what he does. So he survives this. Not only does he survive it, he finds his way to the U.S. with his sister, who he refound, which is pretty amazing. And they made it to New York City, and he ended up becoming a naturalized citizen and was deployed to Korea. The Korean War. Mm-hmm. So he actually served in the U.S. Armed Forces in Korea. So he did all of that. A whole other set of trauma that existed. And so he came back and survived that, came back from Korea. And as part of the GI Bill, he studied management, hotel management kind of stuff, and then worked in hotels in New York. After this, he had enough money. I don't know from what exactly. I know a lot of GI Bill stuff. A lot of people, that's how like Walt was able to start his studio. He and Roy used GI Bill money to start the studio. But he basically found his way to Orlando in 1969 and opened a Holiday Inn franchise to kind of be at the very beginning. He lucked out because it was the very beginning of that industry. So he kind of jumped in right at the base level with, you know, Disney opening just a few years later. So fast forward through this, he was, in the 80s, he decided that he wanted to start providing complimentary bookings to, so children with like life threatening long term illnesses, kind of make a wish mm-hmm. style stuff. He wanted to provide them free complimentary bookings, so they didn't have to pay for the hotel when they were down there and going to Disney World or wherever they were going to be. And so basically what ended up happening to really come up with the idea for the village was there was a young girl with leukemia who had her booking all set up and everything, and then they canceled before it actually happened. And he was trying to figure out why would they have canceled this free booking at the hotel. And he found out that it was because she had died before their Disney bookings and other stuff had actually gone through. Mm-hmm. And so that was just, it was a whole other issue that he couldn't control at that point.
Yeah.
And was just heartbroken that he couldn't provide what he was able to do because the rest of the trip just didn't pan out and she didn't make it. Mm-hmm. So because he was heartbroken from that, he needed to provide a different solution. He went through a bunch of fundraising and individual, you know, money on his own and others, and created the village, which is more than 80 acres.
Oh, yeah. It's huge.
It's this massive thing with lots of different kinds of rides and accessible venues of different sorts for people to go to, as mm-hmm. well as accommodations that are there on site for families who are staying there with their children with terminal illnesses,
yes.
or life-threatening illnesses. And that all opened in 86, and it's been running ever since. Yeah. And that's kind of where my...
It's huge.
Yeah.
So I did get the opportunity to go down there and volunteer. And I will say, when you are driving towards the Give Kids the World property, you're driving through this backwater residential area. It does not feel like you're heading to a big complex for this, which I think helps aid in the privacy of the families. And it is a gated community, so you have to have a reason
to be
there, be one of the families to be on property. Sure. So you can't just go and
see it. Yeah. Right.
Unless, you know, they're doing one of their events like the Night of a Million Lights, which they've done for 2 years in a row now, and it's fabulous. Yeah. Actually, that's where the Osborne Family Lights from Hollywood Studios moved to, part of them.
Right, yes.
Brought them onto all the... of the yes. lights there, or no, there are more lights than just that. But
yeah,
I will say, they say on average they have over 100 different houses right now.
Wow.
Or no, they can host over 120 families, and each house is a duplex, so over 60 houses.
Yep.
And varying on, you know, incoming and COVID stuff, they when I was down there had about 30 families, so it was very, very small.
Okay.
Every night they have a special themed night, and so the children who come down, the kids and their families, can experience big holiday celebrations all at once without having to feel like they're going to miss out on something. So mm-hmm. one night they'll celebrate Christmas. Another night they'll celebrate everybody's birthday. The night that I volunteered for was a sort of talent show star search thing.
Okay, okay.
And so I decided that I was going to assist with that party.
Mm-hmm.
And they let us on property, and we got checked in. We got to see everything. Like, half of the lights were still up from the Night of a Million Lights,
because
they hadn't been taken down yet.
Wow.
And it was gorgeous.
Yeah.
And we get there, given a little bit of a tour, and we go into the big hangout area. And there is a red carpet actually out there. There is a step and repeat that the kids can go and have unlimited photos in front of. They have professional photographers that take pictures and follow them around during these whole activities.
Wow.
They had different activity tables set up, which is where I was set up at. And so that way the kids could do little things here or there, crafts. They had the talent show, which kids could sign up for whatever they wanted. So, like, one of them danced, another one told jokes, another one sang a song they didn't even have on karaoke, and he got it verbatim. And I was like, good job, little dude.
You nailed it, sir.
And then the kid was too afraid to go up, so the dad actually sang "Let It Go," and they had characters show up, specialty Give Kids the World branded characters.
Okay.
And so,
what are those?
There's a gingerbread man. There is
the gumdrop buttons.
Puppy, there was a fairy, which is Stella, and it was Stella's Star Search, so okay. The fairy was a very prominent role this round.
Got it.
And it was just really a lot of fun, and as I had the kids at my little craft area,
yeah,
you know, you got to see the sparkle in them. You got to talk with them a little bit. You got to talk with the rest of the families. They don't want you to ask things like, well, what's wrong with you? Yeah. Obviously.
Right.
You're trying to provide a place that just lets them be
escape.
Kids.
Yeah.
As well as they, I will say when I went through the orientation, they wanted you to actually pay attention to the other kids in the family too. That way they didn't feel left out. And it was just one big family thing.
Yeah.
The parents were there doing silly stuff. I brought my dad with me and I put him up in the painting booth. I'm like, you have fun with that S over there. But it was a lot of fun.
That's
and
cool.
We had about 6 families show up, and they said that for how rainy and wet it was, that was actually a really good night. A really good turnout.
That's great.
But it was really cute and very like heartwarming to know that, you know, you're there. And my dad can't stop talking about this one family that he had a really good interaction with, where he found out that the little girl didn't want to go to the parks anymore. She just wanted to stay on the Give Kids the World property because she just loved all of the little arts and crafts activities and things to do.
Oh,
and
wow.
I mean, the property, like you said, does have accessible rides.
Right.
They have 3 different attractions that the kids can go on at any time.
Yeah.
They have an unlimited ice cream booth that kids can go up and get ice cream whenever they want.
Cool.
They have huge, like the cafeteria. I did a walkthrough of that and it's sponsored by like Boston Market and Perkins. And so it's not like they're getting cafeteria food.
Right, you're getting
and
something.
And like the cake that they went walking by with was huge. It was like those Gideon size cakes that you've seen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're that big.
Wow. That's so cool.
And they always have like a movie night under the stars. But because it was raining, they had actually moved it into the area that we were at. So I helped them set that up. And
sure.
It was just an amazing experience to go to.
Yeah.
They have one of the themed days is the world's largest game of Candyland. And so they actually have the kids play the Candyland characters and go around.
Oh, cool.
And I can't wait to see it. Like, I can't wait to go back and volunteer.
Yeah.
The smiles that you saw on the kids' faces and the conversations that I had with the parents about how, you know, we were getting so overwhelmed and feeling defeated with the amount of medical bills and it was never ending and just struggle after struggle.
Yeah.
To have something that would not just make them light up, but help us have that weight lifted off of our shoulders.
Yeah.
It helps revive them and give them more.
Gives the energy back to keep going with everything that's going on. And like, that's just, it's so true because it's something that we notice. And like, you know, one of the reasons that we love to go to Disney is it's a way to lift our own issues off of our shoulders. And this is such a cool idea that like, people, children, you know, that are running and families that are going through these huge, unimaginably difficult times in their lives, there's something that's kind of like that out there that's just for them, that understands and caters to their needs, is such a unique and awesome thing to exist. It's so cool.
And I just love how all of the different entertainment communities, well, just sponsorship communities in general, have come in, because it's not just a Disney thing. They have, you know, they have some Disney houses, but then they also have Universal houses. They have SeaWorld. They have Legoland.
Wow. And
even the fire hydrants are dressed up as characters around the property.
That's so
you
cool.
You go around and you're driving through and every single duplex looks different.
Right.
Depending on, you know, who the sponsor is and what they wanted to do. And like, they had this huge mushroom.
Why not? Yeah, mushroom.
It felt like a fairy tale.
Yeah, that's
and
so cool.
It was amazing.
In terms of, and just kind of in the more logistical stuff, theming wise, was it pretty detailed or was it really cartoony?
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both. Okay.
Yeah. So the theming around it is the specific characters for Give Kids the World.
Sure.
Their main mascot being Mayor Clayton, who is a rabbit.
Classic.
Reminds me a lot of the Easter Bunny feel without having any religious connotations, because I don't want to have any of that there.
Right, right.
But they have Mayor Clayton and his wife, girlfriend, something, another bunny.
Yeah.
And
another bunny.
And so you see Lover. Those little mascots all over the place.
Yeah.
As well as, like I said, they have Stella the fairy, yep. which actually has a huge role outside of the Stella Star Search that I was a part of. Every kid that has a wish granted down in Give Kids the World gets a star. And there's this huge like ceremony where you go into this castle building.
Oh, wow.
You get to meet Stella.
Yeah.
And then she directs you on where to place your star within this castle. And okay. I walked in for a little bit, but then one of the families came in and I wanted to give them their private time.
Right, right, right.
While they were going through this, but just imagine a whole bunch of gold stars, literally from floor to arched dome ceilings.
Right, right.
Room wow. after room after wow. room. A couple animatronics in there. There's wow. like a throne in there. I'm assuming it has to do with the ceremony to help the sure. kid feel special.
Sure, sure.
But like, it was beautiful. And that's another place that you can volunteer. One of the right. nice things I will say about the volunteering is it's not like you're going to be washing toilets. If right. you want to volunteer, you can actually like have the interaction and have the impact with yeah. the kids. You're not just on background duty.
Right.
Another one of the theme nights is like a pirates and princess night.
Yeah.
And so volunteers that they have will be able to play pirates.
Okay.
Or, you know, yeah, hang out cool. and splash in the pool with yeah. the kids for yeah. the pirate party.
Right.
And that's cool. or, you know, be dressed up as a princess.
Right.
And it's amazing what you can do. If you want to be in the food service, you can be. Sure. But you're not, you know,
relegated to whatever the lowest of the low stuff
correct.
Is.
Correct. Yeah. Or you can be there as part of the star, you know, ceremony.
Right.
And
right.
be in charge of the castle. I think they call it the Castle of Dreams. Don't okay. quote me on that one.
That looks like what I saw in my research, but I could be mm-hmm. I could be wrong.
So
that's very cool.
And it's something where they're always looking for more people
mm-hmm.
and it's an amazing opportunity. And the next time I go down, I plan on volunteering more.
Yeah, that's very cool. I was wondering, so in terms of like, and you talked a little bit about how the other kind of the companies down there can sponsor stuff mm-hmm. within, what kind of intellectual property stuff do you see? Do you mean like, obviously they've got their own set of characters that kind of are the overarching kind of theme for the mm-hmm. entire space. Does Disney ever like provide a walk around character? Do they do that? Do you
they
know?
They actually do have one okay. day that a whole bunch of Disney branded characters come.
Okay.
Another day they have a whole bunch of Universal characters come. Okay. So like the Minions.
Sure.
And
sure.
Maybe Marvel. Don't quote me. Cause
yeah,
you know,
that's a weird,
that's the Orlando ownership. I don't know. But you know, Life of Pets, that sort
sure.
of thing.
Okay. Okay.
That Universal owns. And you have the opportunity without having to go to the parks to be able to do this.
Right.
And along with the wish that they get for the week, that comes automatically for free with the food, all
wow.
included.
Wow.
The room, the duplex that you get.
Yeah.
You get tickets to the parks.
Oh, you do?
Which includes basically fast passes. So they're not stuck in line and waiting in line with, you know, potentially medically
limited. So it's kind of almost more of like a falls into the DashPass category sort
yes.
of. Okay.
Yes. And so you're able to go do these things and have these experiences, come back yeah. whenever you want.
Wow.
And they'll still have entertainment there if you
yeah.
want it, or downtime if you want it.
Right.
And it's great.
Yeah.
I'm can't wait to go back.
Yeah, that's cool. I definitely will have to find one time I'm down there with you, I'll have mm-hmm. to do it, because that'd be very cool to
yeah.
see.
Yeah.
Very, very cool to see. Very something that's both a good cause and something that's very much up our alleys as a, you know, as what we do and everything, which is kind of mm-hmm. kind of neat. So
and I know that there are many events that are constantly going on throughout the year.
Yeah.
Different like after hour parties that are sponsored for the benefit of Give Kids the World.
Sure,
I know
sure.
Jodie Benson, the voice of Ariel, is constantly part of this.
She's part of their world.
Which is amazing. I mean, if I was Ariel, if I was the voice of Ariel, I'd constantly use that to try and, you know, help out, because that's just the type of person that I am too.
Yeah. That's so funny.
And it's not hard to volunteer either. You do have a screening process to make sure that you're not, you know,
a problem. Yeah.
And they also are very careful regarding COVID. You have to have full vaccine boosters, constantly wearing masks. But I mean, these are disabled, you know, people. You don't want to accidentally cause an issue.
That would be not so good.
Making sure that you're being aware of that and any sort of requirements and guidelines. But it was a pretty simple walkthrough process.
Right.
If you want to donate your time, they also obviously have, you know, plenty of places to donate money. If that's your preferred way as well.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
definitely check them out if you have any sort of opportunity, you have time that you don't want to go to the parks, but you want to impact.
Right.
Positively
just do something
impact.
Totally different. Yeah.
It's a great place to be.
Yeah.
And I plan on going back.
Nice. Well, awesome. This is sort of like this is going to count as like a free advertising. We're donating some kind of free advertising for this episode. But anyway,
when we go down though, I do think I want us to do the Halloween night though. Just saying.
Yeah, that's definitely would be in line with us for sure. Absolutely.
On that note, this has been WD Carousel of Podcast. My name's Crystal.
And I'm Ian.
And we hope you have a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. Bye, everybody.
There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. Just a dream away.